Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio, which is a service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio. My pleasure to have you with us, and we thank you very much for making us a part of your day, where we celebrate extraordinary people who truly are making a difference in the lives of others and our world a better place. We're very honored to welcome, as we kick off an exclusive two-part series here on Close Up Radio. I'm so excited, I'm all choked up. We are very excited to welcome psychiatrist Dr. Diane J. Weiss. And she said, as we were having a wonderful conversation before we went live on the air, she says, Jim, you can call me Dr. Diane. So through the purposes of this broadcast, we'll refer to her as Dr. Diane. She's a psychiatrist and a psychotherapist who has been named among our empowering women in America because of the way she approaches patient needs and helps them take part in their own discovery and improvement. Dr. Diane, as she is best known, has been approaching mental health treatment in this distinct manner for nearly all of her 34 years in private practice. She says folks come to her looking for a magic pill that will make their pain and troubles just go away. But as we all know, that's not how it really works. So she works with her patients to help them see there's no such thing. Once you can connect with what is at the core of your emotional and mental pain and suffering, you can become more effective and productive, overcoming such challenges as crippling depression, fears, and anxieties. Dr. Diane says she enjoys working with serious and often long-standing issues, getting deep. She's treated people with anxiety, depression, insomnia, ADD, stress, obsessive-compulsive tendencies, PTSD, unhappiness, unwanted habits, eating disorders, medical difficulties, chronic pain, and other mental illnesses. Prior to attending medical school, Dr. Diane studied languages, literature, and cultures. She then earned a master's degree from the Population, Family, and International Health Division of the School of Public Health. And her desire to do good for the public has always been a strong one. Helping someone be the person they can be is more important to her than any label or diagnosis. She finds individualized analysis more appealing than just going by the book. She wants to help people, to join them on a journey to find the underlying cause of their problems. Her website is DianeWeissMD.com. That's DianeWeissMD.com. We'll mention it again during the show, but just so you have it now so you can reference this a little bit later on. She's live and direct from Beverly Hills, California. We're very honored to have her here for, again, part one of an exclusive two-part series here on Close Up Radio. Dr. Diane, thank you so very much for joining us here on the program. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today. Welcome.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. And if I can help anyone, just even by listening, especially with all that's been happening in our world, it's so important for people to get the right care for mental health. And there's been a lot of stigma, but I think things are opening up. And so I just wanted to say that to people listening that, you know, there you have to find a way, even if you have to look under the rocks for different ways to find some help. And I hope that whatever I say today will encourage people, whether they are your friends or relatives, to get the care that is necessary.
That's so very important and beautifully said, and a wonderful way to set the tone for our conversation here on the broadcast today. And as we know, you know, mental health has been in the news lately, at the forefront. It's being discussed, it's being looked at, but you've been on the front lines, you know, for well over 34 plus years and counting, well before it became, you know, a newsworthy topic. You're a psychiatrist, a psychotherapist, a medical doctor. For the audience's understanding, from your definition, Dr. Diane, what is the difference between what you do for patients, you know, in terms of the credentials and your education and the treatments, in contrast to maybe a psychologist and maybe some additional things you're able to accomplish as well? People probably lump it all together, you know, psychologist, psychotherapist, psychiatrist, all as one. But there are different uniquenesses really to all, right?
Yes, and it's very, it's more usual than not that people don't get confused by all the different titles and they don't know the difference. And when you mention also psychologists, there's a lot of different kinds of psychotherapists with licensing in different states where they're called different things like counselors or social workers, family therapist. Right. So I have a medical degree. I became a medical doctor first, and then I did a specialization, a residency in psychiatry. And that's like if someone would become a dermatologist or a family practice doctor or a surgeon, they would do special training after medical school to specialize, and I specialize in psychiatry. And that means the bottom line is that the difference that most people understand is that psychiatrists prescribe medication and the other therapists do not. And there has been changes, and psychiatry has moved more and more. I did learn the medical model where there's like an illness, you make a diagnosis of the illness, and then you treat usually with medication. And there are other treatments, and of course, if you're a surgeon, you treat with surgery. But I was always interested in really looking at the person as a whole person, both emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and then the body comes in, and that's where I have the background of understanding more what we do know, which is what we don't know about connections between the body and the mind and the soul. And so I have that ability. I may end up seeing people who have medical issues, a lot of irritable bowel syndrome, and psychologists. There's a lot of interlapping. What I think the main thing I want to answer with what you brought up is it's so individualized. There has to be the connection between one person and another, whether that's the therapist and the patient or the therapist and the client. And so a given psychologist might be better for one person than I would be, but I have that broad biopsychosocial holistic mind-body ability to look at the patient and help and treat with medication when they don't have to go to two different practitioners for that help.
See, that's important. That's really terrific. I like the fact that you broke that out in that beautiful way. You know, I heard that you often use hypnosis in your practice as well, which I find fascinating. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, well, hypnosis is very ancient. Hypnos is the god of dreams, and it was used in the old times as a medical practice. And unfortunately, through the years, and with our media, I think even in the 40s, the 1940s and 50s, it often gets a lot of bad rap. It's not about the doctor controlling people to do terrible things or acting silly on stage. But it is really a kind of healing. It's a controlled imagination, and it's when you get into a trance-like state where you're at the same time very focused and very relaxed. And what the way that I learned it, and I think of my teachers, and saying this to people, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. And the person, the therapist, may be giving suggestions, and these suggestions are accepted as they are helpful. And if the person, they're not to be giving the person suggestions of, you know, you're going to sound like a rooster or something. And the person generally, if that's really not what the person wants to do, they won't do it. So I'm saying now what it's not. But it is self-hypnosis, and we are in this trance-like state where there are degrees. People say, I can't be hypnotized. There's degrees of hypnosis. But we all have that when you're driving down the street, when you're passing all these residences that you know, because it's been months and months or years and years, and you don't notice them. It's because you're in this state of hypnosis, but when there's like a stop sign, you'll just know how to stop the car, put your foot on the brake at that moment. When you're in an intense conversation, I could even say what we're talking now, I'm in a hypnotic kind of connection with you. So it can be used to treat and to help with so many things, and one uses their, again, controlled imagination. Hypnotherapy is the use of hypnosis to treat, and it's what I like is to help people connect with their own power and find ways that they, on their own, can really maximize their abilities and overcome and cope with things.
That's so important, because that's really the bottom line on so many different levels. Can hypnosis really lower the pain people that are experiencing as well, Doctor? Is it true that a woman actually hypnotized herself throughout her pregnancy as well?
Yes. Well, this was actually one of my mentors, a psychologist, and there was a seminar all day for psychotherapists, because really only people with the right training should be doing hypnosis as practitioners. But she was teaching us how to use hypnosis to treat pain. And yes, you can learn a technique where you lower the threshold, like lowering down the volume or turning down the pain. But what she was so practiced, because that had been her whole life, her mother had been hypnotizing her since she was very young, like 3 years old, she was very good at hypnosis. She had a high-risk pregnancy. She stayed in bed. She had no discomfort hypnotizing herself. And she went to the emergency room when she didn't feel the kicking. And this was toward the end of the pregnancy. And they couldn't find what was wrong. And it took like almost 24 hours. And the next day, she was in a severe preeclampsia. She would have died. The baby would have died. Her son is fine and all grown up now. But she did this to tell us that you've got to respect pain, because the body will warn you, and you don't want to completely eliminate it. And that's what she did. She was the total expert at hypnotizing herself. And I will say that hypnosis is on a spectrum of meditation and mindfulness and something we call guided imagery, where you imagine yourself in a good place. And these are some kinds of ways that people can learn to cope, to deal with, challenges and everyday issues that come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Also, in doing my research, I realized that you attended a 3-day conference related to learning to use hypnosis to find the underlying cause of a problem rather than focusing on just the symptoms. You know, obviously, a lot of times we focus on the symptoms, we take something for the symptoms, it numbs things for a while, but it's not really getting to the root cause of symptoms. Tell us, if you can, about this incredible experience at the 3-day conference, and maybe even the changes you saw. I believe it was in a young man who had been full of anxieties and unfortunately came from a disadvantaged upbringing. Tell us about all of that.
Yes. Well, I was very intrigued when I received an email, and I, to this day, don't know how. It's the American Academy of Medical Hypnoanalysts, and I am a member, and I have been on the board, but I wasn't anything with it until I wanted to go to this conference in Milwaukee in 2016, because they were saying exactly that, you know, go to the core of the problem. Don't worry about just treating the symptom and putting like a Band-Aid on it. And so they had someone who had agreed to be the patient, and the practitioner who was hypnoanalyzing this person, and that's using hypnosis and hypnotherapy to psychoanalyze. And psychoanalysis is really getting to the bottom of things and trying to find out what happened in an earlier stage and how it's still affecting you now. But classical psychoanalysis takes years of going many times a week traditionally to the psychoanalyst, which is a form of psychotherapy. So anyway, this patient was an immigrant, and he had he had been in jail, and he had had a very rough childhood, and he was full of anxiety. And the person who the medical hypnoanalysis analyst was a family practitioner from Colorado, had been doing this for more than 40 years, this technique he had learned, even though he was a family practice regular doctor, and yet he was very interested in mental health. And so the patient was in front of 20 psychotherapists, myself and others, and over about 10 hours, there's a certain protocol that the society follows and that I learned by observing and doing it with patients for some years thereafter, and still work on that now. But anyway, he couldn't even have people watch, which is understandable, even though he had over his eyes were covered, and he was relaxed in a very comfortable chair. But all that went on, the whole history taking and the whole process of bringing him back in what we call age regressions to as much as he could remember and experience himself being at another point in time at an earlier age, where he was given messages by his family, let's say, or certain his father, that he wasn't any good. So in the beginning, they had to put up a screen because the guy was just too nervous and didn't want to, and I could understand it, didn't want to be seen and heard by all these people that were in the audience, because he knew that. But he was able to relax and go into the hypnotic state and connect with the Dr. Lestikoff, who was the hypnoanalyst. And at the end of the 3 days, which was over, as I said, around 10 hours, he took questions from the audience and talked about how much relieved he was and how more positive he was going to be about his life, because in the process, the two of them went back to bad memories, but then, you know, pointed out ways that you could say that was the past and now you're going to go forward, and using different techniques to help progress. It really is an amazing process, and it is a little bit difficult to explain, but it's an avenue. There are medical hypnoanalysts in different parts of the country, and I do incorporate it into my practice.
Fascinating, really, really fascinating. You know, you also studied a novel therapy known as clean language. Tell us about that. I think it was with Cy Davies Lynn, if I'm saying that correctly, who was both a nurse and a psychotherapist. This really sounds fascinating. This is very new to our listeners, something called clean language. Tell us about this unique way of communicating with traumatized people using symbols, metaphors, and how it could really help them process even the most disturbing memories and events.
Yes. So actually, Kai and David Grove, and if you actually look on Wikipedia, you will see that David Grove is mentioned and not Kai, and he unfortunately passed away some years ago, but they were working together, and they went, I understand it, all over the world to give seminars because they developed this practice. David was from New Zealand, and Kai is from England, and she's just an amazing person. And it's a technique with the idea that people should have their own meaning to what happened, and the therapist can use the person's own metaphors and to help them have this experience of relief from demons. And the issue is that when you're in psychotherapy, and I was looking at some of the what they say, the contrast, let's say, with cognitive behavioral therapy, which can be very helpful. There are different kinds of treatments at different times with different practitioners for different people. I mean, it really has to be individualized. But clean language, the idea is that you don't want to re-traumatize the patient by, let's say, it's particularly adaptable for PTSD kinds of issues when people have had different kinds of trauma in their life. But it doesn't have to be used only for that. But you don't want to make the person sit there and talk about what happened. Maybe some individuals that is helpful and others it's not. And you don't want the therapist to be asking the questions that the therapist is interested in. So there's a certain way that you use your voice. And Kai is just amazing with this, and I'm still I can incorporate aspects of it, but I will say that I'm not the best with that kind of language. But you repeat what the patient says, and it's kind of like you say, "What would you like to have happen?" And you know, "I would like to feel good today." And what do you know about good? And whereabouts is good? Is it on the inside or the outside? And what kind of good is good? And what else do you know about good, and what happens next? And it's kind of a mantra. You repeat what the patient says, and so that, let's say, the trauma happened when the child was 3 years old and they didn't have the language then to say, "Oh, it was my grandmother was saying nasty things to me," or something. And I'll say that too. It's like maybe the parent stubbed their toe and they were upset and in pain, and they looked at the child with an angry face, and the child picks up, "I'm a terrible person because look at how my mother looked at me or my grandmother looked at me," and they don't remember. But you can go through metaphors that the child experiences, like saying, "Okay, I'm going to put all the unhappiness in a balloon and make it float up into the air." And this may sound a little strange, but this technique is very effective and non-invasive, you know, helping people. And it can be used with hypnosis, and it can be used when you're just doing regular talk therapy, because that's also like with clean language, you don't say to the person, "Close your eyes," and you don't actually put them in a trance, but they're in a trance, and it is a kind of like hypnosis.
That's fascinating. It really, really is, Doctor. Now, I understand that there's also alternative kinds of therapies which can be used. Let's talk a little bit about how you do integrate what you do with the other therapies and treatments, and what are some of these diverse types of treatments? Might they integrate other wellness goals or holistic treatments like supplements, or you hear a lot about CBD products these days as well. Tell us about all of this.
Well, one of the, I'm very much, I guess it's the way that I received training in medical school with what I'm going to say is that the influence of insurance companies and the emphasis on, I guess, the realities of payment or lack thereof has affected. And so how I'm going to answer this is that I believe in specialization and not working outside my area of expertise, and that people should have the people helping them doing what they know and what they're trained and licensed and experienced to do. And so I am very interested in the concept of holistic medicine. And that is the form of healing which considers the whole person, body, mind, spirit, emotions. And I will say in all of this, again, this idea that you know, the medical model does look at disease and disorders. And so I am always trying to look at my patients as individuals and to put them up as, you know, to be supportive and to be as positive as possible with them. And this is, there's a one I didn't even know, actually, but it's kind of a humanistic psychological perspective. So there is such a thing as integrative medicine and all these words, alternative and complementary and holistic and integrative is that you're using both the more conventional kind of medical practices and you're using those that are not as traditional. And at the same time, when you say that, there's traditional Oriental or Chinese medicine. Been used for thousands of years. And so all these alternative forms, and you can find different definitions because sometimes they'll say alternative treatments are not scientifically based. But the mind is very, very powerful, and that's something that I would like to get across and mention. So, like, Chinese medicine or Oriental medicine doctors, and this is where I'm very open to people if they need that kind of help. And if I don't necessarily incorporate it, but I can work with and encourage them to go and get the different kinds of help because different things work for different people at different times. Like the homeopathic natural substances, as you say, supplements, acupuncture, Tai Chi, that yes, with the CBD, massage therapy, herbs, different kinds of practices that might be more the expertise of other practitioners can be very helpful and used in conjunction with you know, with what I do. Then there are this whole idea about groups, sometimes self-help groups. Diet and nutrition, exercise. Some people would go to have pastoral counseling with, you know, from their in their religion, their church, animals, that emotional, you know, dogs that are for to help you with your emotions. There's kinds of expressive therapies, art therapy. And some of the techniques of therapies, people somatosensory, they might emphasize more breathing. And I've had patients that will tell me, you know, when I do a hypnosis that heavy about, you know, relax your fingers, relax your wrists, relax your elbows, they'll say, oh, that was really great. And other people will tell me, I don't like that. So
yeah.
It's just that the human being, there's all these different possibilities.
It's really extraordinary. We're talking with Dr. Diane J. Weiss, psychiatrist, in a two-part series on empowering patients to wellness here exclusively on Close Up Radio. And it's really an extraordinary, fascinating conversation. I do want to invite you to join us on our next episode of this particular series. That'll be on July 21st. And we'll be talking about the conventional site focus. This episode was really exploring the alternative side focus. And the next episode will be the conventional site focus. And really looking forward to that as well. Doctor, thank you very much for joining us on the program. This really was a pleasure. And I encourage folks to go to the website, DianeWeissMD.com, DianeWeiss. MD.com. I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I certainly have with you, Doctor. This really was wonderful. Thanks for spending time with us today.
Yes, you made it really very relaxing. I appreciate the opportunity. And I'm just saying that my website is my old one, and it is going to be updated. So
fantastic. So stay tuned for further developments and bulletins at once. Thank you,
okay,
Doctor.
Okay, thank you.
A true pleasure.
You
have a wonderful day, and we'll see you on part two of the series. Right here on Close Up Radio, everybody. This is your host, Jim Masters. Thank you for your time this time. Till next time, we appreciate you listening all around the world as well. And stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another fascinating guest celebrated right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.